Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 16th in the year of our Lord, 2022. Our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you also know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. I had a fantastic weekend full of God, family, country. Hope you had the same. Welcome to the broadcast. Of course, you got Lowell Nelson coming up. We haven't talked to him for weeks, and we're delighted to be back with him. Then, of course, the good Dr. Scott Bradley will be in the house. 2 hours of hard-hitting talk tomorrow. Spread the word. Share the love. An award-winning broadcast will consist the second hour with Sam Bushman, Richard Mack in the simulcast. And we will be having on, the key investigators in 2,000 Mules. So be ready for that incredible barn burner broadcast as well. We got a whole lot going on this week and glad to be part of it with you. Welcome to the broadcast. A quick recap of Saturday's show. We had on Chris Carlson, who says, without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Saturday, we did have an in-depth review of the recently released documentary, 2,000 Mules. SalemNow.com if you want to learn more about it. Then we talked about how 2,000 Mules helped Biden steal the election. Video compares mules to drug mules. You know, drug mules move drugs for drug cartels, etc. So they're using mules in terms of moving ballots, right? They were employed to pad Biden's numbers in 5 key states. And they have not only cell phone data, all right, but they also have incredible details, all right? They use cell phone data tracking along with video evidence to prove their points. It is compelling evidence, ladies and gentlemen. D'Souza went into a meeting room with 5 Salem media hosts. Larry Elder, Eric Metaxas, Dennis Prager, Charlie Kirk, and Sebastian Gorka, all of Salem Media, to discuss whether they believe that the fraud took place during the 2020 elections or not. And all of them said, nah, that's old hat. Everybody's tried to prove vote fraud. No one's ever got it done. They dismissed it. Nah, out of hand. After they saw the movie, though, they were absolutely shocked. D'Souza breaks down the numbers right in front of them to see if it would have changed the outcome of the election. And without a doubt, the answer is a resilient, resounding yes. That's only 2,000 mules in their very narrowed down case to prove the point. In the movie, though, they called on law enforcement to double down and investigate everywhere. Okay, so True the Vote was involved in the movie. Those who will be on the broadcast with us tomorrow. We're talking about Catherine Engelbrecht, president of True the Vote, and Greg Phillips. Greg Phillips has a 40-year background in intelligence regarding elections and analytics regarding elections. It was an incredible breakdown. We also talked about Georgia officials are now intimidating Greg Phillips. That's serious indeed, right? This is a very, very dangerous escalation in this, Greg Phillips says. And boy, I think he's right. So there you have it. A great breakdown with Chris Carlson. Greg says, I believe somebody's going to get killed if we're not careful. I sure pray not. But even Vice President Mike Pence is doubling down and backing Georgia's incumbent Republican Brian Kemp. Well, it's on Kemp's watch that this whole Georgia, at least portion, of the 2,000 Mules takes place. Why won't the Georgian officials look into it? Why are they attacking Greg? I'm telling you right now, we've just scratched the surface. This is serious indeed. We also talked about Musk puts Twitter takeover on hold regarding fake account questions. Don't know what his attempt or agenda is there. We'll keep an eye on that ball, though. Will he buy Twitter? I was hesitant in the first place that he'd get it done. Then it seemed so easy and so quick, and you had to wonder why. Now there's a glitch. Time will tell what'll happen. We talked about Randy Weaver, dies. RIP Randy. Parents, social media, react to Oregon, meaning the state of Oregon, requiring tampons in boys' school bathrooms. I don't even know how to respond to all that. Wow. Now Joe Rogan lights up. Lori Lightfoot's call to arms. What the blank are you saying, he says? Now, I appreciate that, but it's amazing. I report 2,000 mules in the real pay dirt, the smoking gun on election fraud, and the mainstream press doesn't touch it. But Joe Rogan just battles with whacked out liberal governor Lori Lightfoot, and it makes mainstream news? See, this is where they self-perpetuate their mainstream hosts. Which topic is more important, relevant to the nation? I mean, I appreciate that the Chicago mayor's a goofball and she's out of control and Joe's attacking her saying you're goofy. I get it. But does that compare to vote fraud all across the country? With a smoking gun and 2,000 mules? Even Salem's backing the 2,000 mules movie, right? Anyway, we talked about Moscow cuts electricity. When will it hit the United States? I pray that it doesn't. But we already know that they're calling for this. Texas calls for power conservation after 6 generators fail. So you can expect as the summer heats up and everybody cranks up their ACs that we're going to have brownouts and blackouts this year as well. Average person feels good just 47% of the time. That's pretty bad. 47, they don't even feel good 50% of the time. How often do you feel good? See, I think it's a pretty general question, though. When it comes to health, I don't feel good a lot. I've got long-haul COVID symptoms, and it's been rough on me. My health over the last several years comparatively has been just, wow, nosedived. A real struggle. But I feel good because I trust my God. I feel good because I believe the work that I do every day has value, that I bring relevance to America, to the world, that I speak out for God, family, and country, that I do. I feel good about what I do. I spend all my time on God, family, and country. A little bit of entertainment here or there. I'm human. I got to have a little bit of rounding of my life, but that's what my life is filled with. And I feel good about that. So if you want to talk about health, I don't feel good hardly ever of the time. I always have health issues that plague 24/7. But you know what? I feel very good about what I'm doing. And so overall, if I had to gauge what percent of the time do I feel good? Probably 80%. Because I've learned to manage my not feeling well health-wise and just say, hey, that's part of mortality. And I'm going to live with that. But overall, I feel good. I feel good about my friends. I feel good about my family. I feel good about the people that I surround myself with. I feel good about my efforts for the sacred cause of liberty. I feel like I'm doing my best to turn to my God. Anyway, a lot going on there, right? But how often do you feel good? And how would you answer a question like that? Very interesting indeed. All right, we're going to have a breakdown, really cool discussion with Lowell Nelson coming up here in just a second. And Manny's got 3 main topics that we want to talk about. We're going to talk about the Utah Republican Party nominating convention. Interesting things happened there for sure. I'll tell you that. All right. Second, we're going to talk about Lowell went to Nashville, Tennessee. And third, we're going to talk about the Newquist breakfast. Lowell Nelson, welcome back, my dear friend.
Well, good to be back, Sam. Thank you for having me.
Man, it's been so long, and it's all been my fault. Thanks for your patience, but, man, God bless having you back, sir.
Well, it's been 4 weeks since I've been on Liberty Roundtable. Sam, you know, I even had to look the number up this morning because I forgot the number to call. I've missed our shows together, but thank you again for this great opportunity today, Sam.
We are delighted, my friend. The Utah Republican Party nominating convention, you were there and you're here to report, sir.
Well, it was that weekend of April 23rd that saw me at the Republican Party nominating convention. It was an all-day affair, of course, with not very many surprises. Mike Lee, one of 7 candidates, won the nomination for the party in the first round, gaining 71% of the delegates' votes. That was pretty much a landslide there.
Now, let me tell you why it's a little bit of a surprise, though, because I thought they'd twist a lot more delegates' arms than that. That just proves how true the delegate people really are and how true they are to what they really believe and everything else. There was 7 people there, and Mike won handily, but you also got to question now if they're going to try to pull out the stops and use their big money to do an end run round the delegation, right?
Well, I'm sure that's what they're planning. The 2 big opponents, Becky Edwards and Ali Isom, I think are going to split the vote. between them, you know, any of the opposition votes. Probably a little bit more to Becky than to Allie, but I predict that
not much.
Will win the primary. Yeah. But that's okay. So that wasn't a surprise. Mike continues to be popular among the delegates because he pretty closely follows the Constitution. He's with Rand Paul most of the time on the votes back there, and got a 93% score from the New American Magazine on the Liberty Index. So, I mean, he's doing pretty darn well back there, even though I don't agree with him on everything, and I know Scott Bradley doesn't agree with him on everything. He is better than most.
Yeah, and I don't agree with him on everything, but I will say this. We got to remember it's a relative discussion sometimes. Now, I know when you compare it to cheating on your wife, it's like, hey, a dismal reality. You know, even 2% right. of the time is really horrible. I get that standard, and I agree with it. I also agree, though, that, look, it could be a whole lot worse. And if you want to talk about what, the five congressmen in Utah, is that how many we have now?
Well, six total congressmen.
Six total congressmen. Okay. In the six congressmen in Utah and the other senator, so in other words, eight federal representatives.
No, senator or congressman, right? I mean, so a lot of people don't know that. But
all right,
yeah,
let's get into this in a second. I'm saying there's four congressmen and two senators.
Okay, four representatives and two senators.
That's right. But I understand. We'll get to your point because you're right in just a second. But anyway, out of six of them, I would submit to you Mike Lee's probably the best one of them all, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you ever think he's not being doing very good, just look at the other senator, Mitt Romney, and then you know.
Amen to that. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds with Lowell Nelson on your radio.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah, a message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
We're talking to Lowell Nelson, ladies and gentlemen, campaignforliberty.org, as we do every Monday on your radio. Doing a great job talking about the Utah Republican Party nominating convention. Lowell was there, and no surprises, Mike Lee did incredible. One of seven candidates. He got 71% of the vote, and that's great. I'm a little surprised that they weren't able to twist a few more delegates' arms, but nevertheless, I'm happy about that because I think the delegation makes a huge difference. It's the preliminary folks. They're the ones that decide who really gets to your ballot to vote on. And they're the ones that really dig into the candidates and vet them so well and do such a good job. They spend their time is the reason that they're so valuable. Well, in Utah, they're trying to get the delegate system or the caucus system, and they're trying to put a place or a situation where you can just have big money win, use the big money in the media, and, well, then comes the vote fraud stuff as well. We'll get into that in a minute. But we left on the idea that there's four congressmen and two senators in the state of Utah. In other words, six representatives to the federal or the general government, right, Lol?
That's right. Yes, Sam.
But there's a misnomer a little bit in terms that I think you ought to clarify.
Well, I try to make this clarification with people all the time. When you talk about a congressman, you're talking about Congress. And, of course, Congress includes two chambers or two houses. One is the Senate, comprised of 100 senators or two senators from each state. And then the other house or the other chamber is called the House. And so what we really have are U.S. representatives and we have U.S. senators, all of which comprise congressmen. And so that's the only distinction I wanted to make.
Yeah, and it's important. I mean, I think that people kind of misnomer, misstate it all the time, and I just did, to your point. And I think it's wise to clarify and wise to be accurate about, you know, hey, they're all congressmen. A lot of times they say congressmen and senators, and that's where the confusion comes from. But it is House representatives and senators, all members of Congress. So I'm saying out of those six, though, Mike Lee's the best. And that's why I kind of was highlighting this relative term. Look, if we want to spend our time, it's to get rid of the worst, not to attack Mike Lee. To retain Mike Lee is probably the best thing we could do at this point. So we need to be very agile and understanding about what's going on. What else happened at the convention?
Well, there were four congressional district races, of course, and all of them were contested. CD 2 and 4, both the incumbents, both won handily. That's Chris Stewart in CD 2 and Burgess Owens in Congressional District 4. They both won handily, easily. But in CD 1, that was Blake Moore, where Blake Moore is the incumbent, and also in CD 3, where John Curtis is the incumbent. Both of those gentlemen are in primaries because the challenger got more votes than the incumbent. Andrew Badger got 59.28% of the vote. Curtis Herod in CD3 got 55% of the vote. And so those two races are going to primaries for the general party member. So they'll decide in a primary. June 28th is the date of the primary. And we will know who the Republican Party nominees in those two districts will be. So those are hotly contested races. I was a little bit surprised that Jason Preston and Tim Alders didn't do better in Congressional District 3. They both were eliminated in the first round.
And that's really sad because those are the two that I would have gone for.
Well, Jason Preston is really a warrior. I mean, he would be, reminds me of a biker type that's swinging the chains on a Harley Davidson. He would have gone back there and really shook things up a lot. And he has a great, position, liberty position, a great liberty mind, as does Tim Alders. Tim Alders, over the years, decades, has been a talk show host on the radio. A lot of people know him. Plus, he had a lot of his own money invested in this race. He could have spent and helped to win against John Curtis. I don't think any other candidate had as much money as Tim. But that didn't sell well with the delegates. Delegates are not looking for people who have a lot of money. They're looking for people who have a lot of principle. And Chris Herod had the track record, the legislative track record in the state of Utah, as being a truly liberty-minded legislator. He's the one who started the Patrick Henry Caucus here in Utah, way long, quite a few years ago. And he has the track record. So anyway, that's who the delegates chose. And he's in the primary, and there's a lot of people working his campaign trying to help him beat John Curtis.
All right. Burgess Owens won big time as well. And how well is Burgess doing compared to how people hoped he would?
He's slightly above average. His liberty index score is not nearly as good as Mike Lee's. He's kind of like in the middle of the pack or maybe the top of the bottom is another way to put it. He's not at the top of the top, but he's top of the bottom. So
there you go. So we got a lot of work to do, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you that because, again, I get the little bit of where it's not perfect that you got to kind of give a pass on that. I also get the more you go down the ladder, the less justification you have, and that's kind of something serious as well. Now, this to me was very sad that you reported, Lowell. For the first time in our history, the state's school board races were partisan. That's interesting.
Well, it is. And it's a good thing this year for sure, because as you know, our school board here in the state of Utah has been acquiescing to the whole, LGBT community storyboard. They've been acquiescing to letting boys, you know, use the girls' showers and locker rooms and restroom facilities. They've been acquiescing on pretty much everything, CRT and this SEL, social emotional learning in the public schools. They have been embracing this, let me just use a kind of crass word called crap. They've been embracing it, and this was the year when the mama bears came out of the woodwork, and we are, you know, we meaning the mama bears are putting into onto the school boards, both the local school boards and the state school boards, just a whole boatload of new faces, new personalities who reject the critical race theory and who reject social emotional learning and the sex education taught to kindergartners and grade schoolers, and who are rejecting so much of this counterculture and woke culture that has, yeah, invaded, you know, and now permeates our public schools. And that's a sea change, Sam.
I think that's good, and I like the sea change. I'm concerned when you start to make it partisan, though, because, hey, if you're not part of the two parties, if you're part of a third party, you're basically disenfranchised completely. And if in Utah, for example, you're part of another party, then you're not really, you don't have the influence. So I just feel like it chops a lot of people at the knees. It, you know, it really creates multiple elections that disenfranchise. For example, the other side, the Democrat side, if you're not there and you're not involved, you're not influencing that side of who gets to run against ever. And so that partisan stuff never makes me feel good. Now, I know in this case, because we saw a short-term sea change, we think it's great. But on a long-term reality, parties and partisan politics has never really done us any good. The founders warned against it. Lol, and that's kind of the reference point that I stand with.
Well, it's a great point to make, Sam. In this state, because we never had partisan races in the school board positions, they were never vetted. Those candidates almost never got vetted because people, you know, the delegates are used to vetting people who are seeking their votes. Well, the state school board candidates, they never sought anybody's vote because all they needed was name recognition. There are 15 seats across the whole school, right? I mean, the whole state. And so their districts are bigger even than our Utah senator districts. So if you're talking about the number of people in a district. And so in order to get elected, all you needed was a lot of money and a lot of name recognition. And because no one ever asked you tough questions like delegates are wont to do, then you could get into the state school board, on the state school board just through name recognition and popularity and money and stuff.
The real question is, how do you get that delegation? How do you get those questions? How do you get, and that's where the media is falling apart. That's where the American people need to do due diligence. I agree that the delegation solves a lot of that, and I support that general idea. I'm just concerned when we get the partisan politics. I would also say, too, though, that, you know what, Americans, rather than just go and battle at your school boards to pray you get the right person that won't teach your kids all manner of false doctrines and God-rejecting attitudes and behaviors and thoughts and ideas, the best way is just to yank your kids right out of the government school and say, school board, you're defunct because there's nobody there anymore. That's the way I would go as well. But let's get to the reason that you mentioned the small number of delegates, Lowell.
Well, yeah, it is a good reason. The number of delegates is for a state Senate race, on average, is about 138. Because you see, you take the 4,000 delegates and distribute them over 29 Senate districts. You just do the math. You get 138. Now, in a House representatives, state House, that's even smaller. Distribute 4,000 delegates over 75 House districts. You come up with, on the average, of about 50 delegates who are making the decisions. Who gets to represent or who becomes a party nominee in a state House race or a state Senate race, you realize how important your one vote is as a delegate, Sam.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to make a difference, get involved is the point. Lowell Nelson in seconds on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
It was a weekend of shootings across the United States, the worst in Buffalo, New York, where authorities say an 18-year-old is accused of killing 10 people at a supermarket. Deadly shootings were also reported at a Southern California church, a flea market in Houston, and across St. Louis, where 5 people were killed and 8 others were wounded in a string of shootings. McDonald's is going to sell its business in Russia 2 months after suspending operations over the Russian invasion of Ukraine, the fast food giant citing the humanitarian crisis caused by the war in Ukraine and said this morning that continued ownership in Russia is no longer tenable or consistent with McDonald's values. A Celebration of Life event at Nashville's Ryman Auditorium remembered country music legend Naomi Judd Sunday night. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes or overweight or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-9336. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-444-9336. 800-444-9336.
Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody claims she has documents that show Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas is knowingly permitting policies that make smuggling by cartels easier on the southern border. Moody saying without Title 42, there will be an increase of illegal immigrants crossing the border.
We can at least tell he is lying to the American public and right. working harder for the cartels and unvetted illegal immigrants than he is for the American people.
She also alleges that he lied to the Senate in a hearing about the state of the southern border. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell says that he expects a Senate vote Wednesday to approve about $40 billion in proposed aid to help Ukraine resist Russia's invasion after holding a related procedural vote later today. The bill held up late last week after Republican Senator Rand Paul wanted the Inspector General to account for where the money was spent in Ukraine. USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Ladies and gentlemen, your vote as a delegate is huge, so you really need to get involved, and that's a way you can make a big, big difference. Lowell?
No, thank you, Sam. You're absolutely right. These delegates vet the candidates deeply. They vote them tenaciously, and they therefore put themselves in a position to judge which candidate will most closely adhere to the party platform, and that's why the caucus convention system is such a valuable system, one which we're trying to get back. You know, the signature path eviscerated the system, and we are trying to get a repeal of that Senate Bill 54 from 2014 so that we can get back to a true caucus convention system. Well, the party used electronic keypads, commonly called clickers, again this year, Sam. Those clickers were introduced in 2011. But the party had not included a rule that the clickers' votes be published, and so I made the motion there at convention on the convention floor, and a majority of the delegates agreed with me that their votes should be published, and so I was glad of that because a week or two after the convention, when the votes got published, and when I'm talking about publishing the votes, I'm just saying the votes associated with a particular clicker or a device ID got published. So nobody knew how the delegates voted, but a delegate, if he wrote down the device ID on his clicker before turning it back in that day, then could compare his real votes with what the clicker recorded, right? And so you can tell how accurately the electronic keypad recorded your votes. And I wanted to do this. I sent an email to over 4,000 delegates, and I asked them to verify their votes against the record of their votes on the state party website. And this is the first time in our history that I know that this happened, where a general plea or solicitation or general email request for delegates to verify their votes. Well, that first week, just a couple of days after I sent the email, I had received 100 responses from delegates. Now, the interesting thing about this is that, and of course, I separated their replies into three groups. One group for those who said their votes had been recorded correctly. Second group for those who claimed that their votes had not been recorded correctly. And then third group, just of people with observations and suggestions, but never made a comment about how accurate their clicker vote was. Well, obviously, most delegates reported that their votes had been captured accurately, like 71%. I'm sorry, 71 of the 100 responses said that their clicker had captured their vote correctly, and that was good. I mean, that's what one would expect. But there were a half a dozen who claimed that their votes had not been captured correctly, and three of them were in the Utah School Board District 4 race. In all three cases, they claimed that none of their votes had been captured. And so, you know, they had pressed the button, and the green light came on, and they had walked out of that meeting that morning thinking that their votes had been counted, when in reality, they had not been counted. Now, a week later, when I sent out a reply reporting the results of my first email, then I got 90 more replies. And out of that group, two more from that same race claimed that their votes had not been counted. They gave me their clicker number, their device ID number, and I went in and verified there were no votes recorded in that particular race. And so basically what I did, Sam, was that I exploded this myth that the clickers are infallible. I mean, that's what the companies will tell you. The clicker companies, they'll say, yeah, you use this, it's 100% accurate. Well, I'm here to tell you that it was not 100% accurate. Now, was it good enough? Yeah, probably so, but it wasn't 100%
accurate. Well, hold on. Was it good enough? I say no.
Okay.
Was it maybe acceptable levels because it wouldn't have changed the outcome? In this case, right now, yes. But not
right.
In all cases, not in the
right.
Future, not in the past, right?
Well, in a case where the vote would have been really, really close, like remember in the Andrew Badger case in CD1, Andrew Badger was only, 0.72% away from winning the nomination outright, not even having to go to a primary. And instead, he's going to have to spend, you know, $500,000, and Blake Moore will spend the other, you know, $500,000 trying to win the primary. And so in that case,
How many votes does that relate to about in the delegation?
Yeah, I'd have to get my math calculator. I bet it would have been several dozen votes maybe, you know,
okay.
Maybe.
Okay, and how many were, because you still haven't, you've only done, how many delegates gave you the information first round? You got
100?
Some and then you proved it.
190 out of 4,000 delegates, Sam.
So you've done, let's see, 4,000, 10% would be 400, 1% would be 40?
Yes.
So you did
exactly.
3% about, no, 4%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess 5%. Sorry, I'm trying to do it on the fly. You did about 5%, and out of the 5%, how many changes were there?
Well, it's a little bit worse than that, because in Congressional District 1, there were only 937 delegates. I have my graph up here now.
Okay, 937. So basically about just in a summary, a fourth.
Well, remember, those five people who claimed no votes in the state school board race were not necessarily they weren't making that claim in this Congressional District 1 race. There was only, I think, two people or maybe one delegate who claimed that they had voted in Congressional District 1 for Andrew Badger, and yet their vote had not been tallied for him. So there was a much lower number of people who claimed an incorrect vote in the CD1 race. There was a higher number in the state school board seat 4 race, but not in the CD1. So you make a good point, Sam. In other words, you know, was there enough inaccuracy in the CD1 race that, you know, Andrew Badger really should have won outright the nomination? Well, I don't know. He got 540 votes. Blake Moore, the incumbent, got 371. And so in order for Andrew Badger to have won outright, he would have needed several dozen more votes. And I just don't think there were that many reports of inaccuracy in that particular race to have made a difference.
Okay, so your summary analysis, though, if it scales across all 4,000, you only did about 5% sampling with what you've got because everybody else hasn't cooperated. They should be doing this by routine, though. They shouldn't be having no motion to do it, and then you force it to be, and then they give you the records, and then people do it individually, and then you have to tally up only 5% to make that assertion. I think you're probably correct in this case. My point being is it isn't always that way, though. And so right. With the discrepancies that you've discovered with your 5% sampling, it should tell everybody that this alone is a huge issue, Lowell.
Yes, absolutely. That was exactly the point I wanted to make with this. So now we have 4,000 people out there, delegates to the convention, who have received my emails, and they know that, you know what, the clickers, they're not always right. They're not always infallible. And that's exactly the point I wanted to make. And so if this convention did nothing else but give me an opportunity to prove that, see, what I want to see, Sam, is I want real-time vote validation of the clicker vote. And then I'd be supportive of the clicker. See, I've been against this since 2011 when it was introduced. I said we need to be – a delegate needs to be able to verify on the floor of the convention that his vote was captured correctly – and number two, that it was aggregated correctly, meaning it added up to the bottom line for the candidate of his choice. Now, if those two things happen, I'm okay with the clickers. But
we don't have any way to do it with the clickers. Now, here's the other deal. I don't know why we want to use clickers, though. I don't know why we just insist on technology, unless their goal is to commit fraud and these little discrepancies over time along the way continue to add up and they become big vote changers. I don't know why you insist on them. They used to, in the 4,000 votes, you could break that down into 5 or 6 or whatever places. You've only got like 500 votes to count. How long does it take? It takes longer to set up the clickers than to count the votes, my friend.
Well, absolutely right. I counted the number of minutes. We spent 75 minutes on the front end of the convention testing and calibrating the clickers, taking a test vote, working out all the problems, recalibrating, doing another test vote, making sure we got all the clickers to to work, and if trading them out and getting another clicker if the one didn't work that you first got. I mean, that took 75 minutes, Sam, of the delegates' time on the front end of the convention.
Hold on. So you're saying 75 minutes times 4,000?
Yes, exactly what I'm saying.
So
exactly.
I'm not very smart, ladies and gentlemen, but think about this. 75 minutes times 4,000, right? Divided by 60, am I right?
Yeah, that's right.
5,000 hours.
Yeah.
5,000 hours. I could have counted 4,000 votes myself in that amount of time, right? Wait a minute. Hold on. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Call is being transferred to the listening ear. Listening professionals dedicated to hearing you.
Hello, listening ear. Who am I listening to?
Carrie, but I was calling my mom.
Yes, you were, but your mom was so busy she felt it was important for you to have someone who could completely focus on listening to you and you alone. So she subscribed to our service. Go ahead, I'm listening.
Well, I'm not quite sure.
Where to start? Well, I can listen to school issues like science projects. I can listen to boy problems, although that's an extra $3 per call because of the emotional drain on me. How about we start with how you wish you had made cheerleader?
I didn't try out for cheerleader.
This isn't Mary?
Carrie. I'm Carrie.
Oh, sorry.
There is no substitute for a loving parent. And when you really listen, love is what they'll hear. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, for more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
This is a battle between truth and deceit. a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Was my math accurate? 5,000 hours, lol, Nelson?
5,000 man hours? Yes, yeah. It was, Sam.
5,000 man hours. Now, how long would it take to count 4,000 votes by hand man hours?
Well, in the Utah County Party Convention, we had 1,400 delegates there, maybe 1,500, and we ran a number of races and multiple rounds on paper ballots, and we ended our convention like 2 in the afternoon, maybe 3 in the afternoon. And this one ran till 5:30 p.m. But I made a crucial discovery, Sam, and that is that since the introduction of these electronic keypads, commonly called clickers, the conventions, the state conventions, have always taken longer. I'm talking hours longer than they used to, because I've been going to these conventions since the 1990s, and we never went beyond mid-afternoon. Sometimes we'd get out early afternoon. I'm saying like 2 o'clock, but never beyond 3 p.m. That was unheard of. But when they introduced the clickers, then the conventions began running to 4 p.m., 5 p.m., 6 p.m. And it dawned on me, Sam, why that's the case. It's because ever since the introduction of them in 2011, the congressional district elections have been done in serial, not in parallel, meaning they're done in the main hall one after another. And so you have, you know, now with the 4 congressional district races, that means the delegates from congressional districts 2, 3, and 4, they sit around twiddling their thumbs while the candidates from district 1 speak, and then cast their votes in that. And then the delegates from 1, 3, and 4 sit around twiddling their thumbs while the candidates from District 2 speak and the votes are cast and so forth. So you see what's happening there is that basically it takes 2 hours to conduct those 4 elections. That's roughly 30 minutes per election. And you're wasting 3/4 of your time during those 2 hours. So that's another 90 minutes wasted. And so if you put all that
together. But hold on, that's 90 minutes wasted again and again and again for each district, right?
Well, it's 30 minutes per district on the average, 30 minutes wasted per district, but you waste it 3 times because you're one of...
So another 90 minutes, and it's across all 4,000 delegates, though.
Exactly.
Minus your district, I guess, right? In other words, you'd have to take out each district's people if you really totaled the man-hour numbers of the real time wasted. But I'm talking, you're getting close to 10,000 hours, you know, 7 or 8,000 man-hours now.
Yeah, and the way I figure, it's roughly 3 hours wasted... times the 4,000 delegates, that totals to 12,000 man hours, or basically 3 hours of your day is wasted because of the clickers. And I guarantee you that...
And so wait a minute, we're going to add that time waste, plus we're going to add inaccuracies, and then we're going to double down and insist on it by mandate? The only reason you would do that is to commit vote fraud, sir. There's no other logical explanation that makes any sense whatsoever.
Well, there's a lot of high-tech people that are pushing high tech. Maybe they're friends with the clicker companies. I don't know, but
well, I'm a high tech guy for a living, and so are you. And I'm telling you right now, we're both rejecting it. So that narrative blows up too.
That's for sure.
It's a certain elite group of what do you want to call it? Deep state folks that have high tech leanings that want to do this. And you got to ask the question: What is their motivation, ladies and gentlemen? Enough of that. We'll keep an eye on that ball, though. Thanks for that report. I've got to get to your Newquist event breakfast first.
Okay. Well, that was a great event. That was several Saturdays ago. There were three main speakers, Scott Bradley, Robert Brown, and Alex Newman. Now, those names should be easily recognized by your audience, Sam. Each one tackled a different topic, and every one of them did really, really well. Now, Scott Bradley, he discussed the Fauci facade. What a great title for his talk, Fauci facade. He actually read the book written by Robert Kennedy, Sam, entitled The Real Anthony Fauci. Now, that is a hard book to read, you know, because it's like every
not
page.
Not for the good doctor, it's not.
That's right. He's used to these kind of books, but there were like a dozen or two dozen footnotes on every single page of that book. I mean, heavily, heavily documented. So every sentence almost in that book has a footnote because, you know, the author, Robert Kennedy, is making claims which, if he didn't footnote, he'd be really criticized heavily. Well, he's criticized heavily even with the footnotes, but everything in that book is true. It's accurate. And it really exposes Anthony Fauci as a facade. He's a fraud. He lies every time he opens his mouth, Sam. You know, and so, anyway, Scott reminded us of several facts. You know, basically, over the past 2 years, for example, this fact here, to date, all vaccines for coronaviruses have failed. Now, that's a fact. Remdesivir killed 58% of the study group in 28 days. Now, those are two different topics. I just hopped from one topic to the next. Now, the first topic was coronaviruses, vaccines for them, they always fail and always have historically. Next topic, remdesivir. You know, that's the drug that is part of the Fauci protocol that doctors are supposed to administer to COVID patients. Remdesivir, during its trials, killed 58% of the study group within 28 days, and yet it was approved by the FDA for babies.
Say bioweapon intentionally delivered to the American people with death? Now, we're going to talk to Scott Bradley in more detail about his speech next hour. But
cool.
These topics
okay.
are critical on the Fauci facade, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Robert Brown doubled down, too.
He did. He lives in Lehi, by the way. I didn't know he lived so close, but that means that we can draw on him a little more often, perhaps. He warned us about the dangers of a constitutional convention, you know, a con-con, a convention of states. But he first encouraged us, all of us, to be constitutional scholars. And I think he's absolutely right, Sam. You know, we citizenry, we need to be constitutional scholars. He mentioned de Tocqueville in the early part of our country's history. De Tocqueville, Alexis de Tocqueville, observed that most early Americans understood our history and our Constitution. You know, if you were to encounter someone who did not understand those things, that was a rarity. That's what de Tocqueville said. And so Robert, he identified, first of all, he encouraged us all to be scholars, and I second that encouragement. We all need to understand the Constitution so well that we'll recognize the fraudsters and the con men and so forth that try to become our politicians. Anyway, he identified the two big lies of the people who are pushing for a convention of states. Number one, they are saying that the delegates to the Philadelphia Convention in 1787 had any and all authority to change the Articles of Confederation. They're making that claim, Sam, today. That's lie number one. And lie number two, they say any attempt to go beyond what the states authorized the delegates to do would not survive an out-of-order objection at the convention. Well, history says otherwise. Now, why do the organizers of the Convention of States lie? Why do they make these lies to us? Because they want us to believe that the participants at the Philadelphia Convention were authorized by their states to make changes to the Articles of Confederation. That is not supported by history. And their second, in other words, the states authorized their delegates to go to that convention to to improve upon the Articles of Confederation, but not to throw them out. So that is a real key point.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's why we got to watch history so well, because it repeats, beware.
Yeah, absolutely.
The point, ladies and gentlemen, that is the reality takeaway that matters the most. Good for Robert Brown for highlighting that reality. And we can't leave out Alex Newman before the end of the hour, Lowell.
Yes, he talked about the Great Reset. The Great Reset of Capitalism is really authored. It's not a book. This is a movement. We're in motion right now. The Great Reset of Capitalism is happening. Now, it's being authored by globalists like Klaus Schwab, who founded the World Economic Forum. And on his website are 8 predictions. This is the World Economic Forum website. Okay, this is the website produced by, supported, and maintained by the World Economic Forum. And these 8 predictions, basically they are forecasting what's going to happen in the very near future. Number one, Sam, all products will have become services. This is where you don't own anything, Sam, but you will be happy. Shopping will become a distant memory in the city of 2030, whose inhabitants have cracked clean energy and borrow what they need on demand. It sounds very utopian, Sam, and until... What you mentioned, the fact that every move is tracked and outside the city, it's a surveillance state, right? And so every move you make, every phone call you make, every message you send, basically it's going to be tracked. Now, that's inside the city. If you live outside the city, with the other discontents and malcontents, people like you and me who value freedom, then...
And there do well without anything that is normal or logical. You won't be part of society at all, ladies and gentlemen. Now,
right.
This is if they get their agenda, ladies
right.
and gentlemen. Understand that the battle's on. We're not saying this is what 2030 will be. We're saying this is what they want it to be. And you and I have a battle to fight now to prevent this from being reality, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Alex suggested that Bill Gates and other globalists are attempting to edit the human genome. They call it hacking the operating system of life, ladies and gentlemen. They want to upgrade themselves to godhood. So while they want to dumb us down and control us in the surveillance state, the control state, the deny us of God, family, and country, deny us of life, liberty, and property, while they do that to us, they want to become godlike figures themselves. This is their ultimate reset plan that Alex doubles down and documents till the cows come home, lol.
Absolutely right. You know, these people, they will go to any lengths to try to achieve godhood. Reminds me of the Tower of Babel, right? People wanted to build a building so high they could go climb into heaven, become gods. And that's what's happening right now. Bill Gates and these other globalists, they're attempting to upgrade themselves to godhood by editing the human genome. And so Alex just really had some great solutions, and it echoes your solution, Sam, and that is to get our children and grandchildren out of the public schools, number one. Number two, subscribe to the New American Magazine and to the Epic Times. And a third organ he mentioned was the Liberty Sentinel. This is his website, by the way, Alex Newman's website. I've never been there before, but it sounds really interesting. So the New American, the Epic Times, and the Liberty Sentinel. Visit that Liberty Sentinel website every day. This is Alex's website.
And the Liberty Sentinel website, by the way, is where Alex does news videos updated virtually daily. Does an incredible job. And he's also a reporter for the New American and for the Epic Times. Both organs I absolutely support 1,000%. Lowell, thank you so much, sir. We'll have you back soon.
You're welcome, Sam. Good to be with you.
Man, Lowell always has a packed show. When you leave him alone for a couple of weeks, it gets even more critical, more vital. Ladies and gentlemen, thank Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, doing a phenomenal job. For Sam and Lowell, we declare this nation shall endure. You got to get involved, ladies and gentlemen. That's how we'll beat these people. We know we win in the end. What side are you going to be on? God save the Republic.